Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I am your host, Rick Stevens, and this is your show. Remember, folks, if you've got questions that you would like to have answered, if there is a topic you would like to hear just a little bit more about on a future Money Matters episode, feel free to give me a call at 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me that email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or simply go to that website, frsfinancialgroup.com, click on that contact tab, send us your question, send us that topic you want to know a little bit more about. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we are joined, as always, by my co-host, Andrew Rogers. Andrew, summer came back.
Yeah, with a vengeance.
It's a little bit crazy. I was kind of enjoying the no 90 degree days.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of right in that middle of it, because I love wearing shorts to work. But then again, I was really kind of enjoying getting into that hoodie season.
Yes. So. Well, I mean, it's Colorado. You could do the shorts with a hoodie just about any day, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got all winter to do that.
That's true. That's very true. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we can, maybe Andrew, we should call this week part two.
Yeah.
Of what we were, you know, working on last week, looking at some of these, I don't necessarily want to call them the get-rich-quick reels that are out there, but maybe some of the questionable how to invest, handle money, make deals kind of things.
Yeah, I think TJ had a great way of labeling it, social media misgivings.
Yes.
This will be misgivings part two, electric boogaloo.
I think so. I like the electric boogaloo part on
that's
that.
Right.
You know, having grown up in the 80s, I'm pretty sure that I watched that more than once.
We won't get the cardboard out today, but we will get out the scoreboard to kind of get these rankings, whether or not they're, you know, legit, not legit, or somewhere in between.
Yeah, I'm going to go having a pretty good idea with what we're going to listen to today and kind of comment through here. I'm going to go with there's not a lot of folks getting a 10 out of 10. On these.
Yeah, and if you missed last week, you can head on over to KRDO.com or wherever you get your podcast, because we've scoured the gram. We went out on the reel scrolling through. There's a lot of weird financial suggestions that they try to get to you in 15 to 30 seconds, and a lot of them, they sell it good. They sound really, really convincing, but
yes,
once you kind of peel back that first layer, you realize, as Rick often said last week, that math just doesn't math.
Yeah, it's amazing how often there are these you know, bold statements that can be made. And you know, back when I was teaching and I had my student teachers in the classroom, the one thing I always told them was, say what you're going to say with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Say it with conviction. And if you've got to come back and update the next day of, you know what, guys, I actually dug a little deeper and I gave you some bad information yesterday, here's the right information, it's fine to correct. But say it with conviction. Don't say it like you're not sure as the teacher, because then as the student, they won't pay attention. But I think some of these quote-unquote influencers have taken that to heart.
Yeah.
They also missed the part about, and if you gave them bad information, come back and fix it. Minor issue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's in the fine print.
Yes, right. What there was a sign I saw years ago, still to this day, wish I would have bought it. Said, "What the large print giveth, the fine print taketh away."
Exactly.
Love that part. So I think we've got the first little clip here set up, ready to go. So let's take a listen, and then we'll dive deeply after this one finishes. So here we go with the first clip.
if I own a home for 2 years and then I want to go buy another property as my primary residence and rent my current primary residence out, that's a great strategy, because as long as I don't refinance the property that I currently own, then it's still under the same terms as when I bought it, which is generally more favorable interest rates and less money down. So if you keep that property and rent it out, then you can go buy another residential property and you can get the same favorable terms on your loan, lower interest rate, and potentially less down. And the debt to income is washed by the amount of rent that you're getting.
Okay, Andrew.
Well,
so much going on here
these days.
Yes.
Well, I mean, first off, there is the truth that if you bought a home previously, the rate's going to be lower.
Yes. Yes, it will.
But I think she misses out on the part that a lot of those places, mortgages, have a stipulation for owner occupancy.
Yes.
And different rules apply if you're buying a secondary for an investment.
Right. Right. And, you know, the crazy part with a lot of this stuff, and there really are a couple of pieces in here where she misses out. Number one, I don't know of any mortgage place out there that says, hey, Andrew, you got a mortgage with us. You bought this house 3, 4, 5 years ago. Really good rate on that. You're going to go out today and buy a new house for a primary residence. I tell you what, we're not going to look at today's rates. We're going off the rates from 5 years ago for you.
I mean, if that were the case, I mean, it'd be a gold rush out there.
Oh, my goodness. Would that ever? But would that ever?
They forget that the banks and lenders are also businesses, and we've talked so much about the cost to borrow money on their side that it just would not make financial sense.
You know, it's I've got to say that if there were the lenders out there, the banks out there who were actually working in that way, we wouldn't have seen only three banks go under a few months ago.
Yeah.
We would have seen most of the banks go under.
We would definitely be talking about a bubble.
Yes, for sure on that, for sure on that. The other part that it's that whole, you know, the whole mixed metaphor sort of concept. She's kind of doing that because I don't really think it matters that you just live 2 years in your current residence to go get another loan for a different residence.
Yeah.
That's only when it comes to when you're going to sell it and then actually take the capital gains from that and roll it into another residence sort of thing, where you don't have to deal with capital gains and recapturing depreciation off of your rental. That's the only part where those pieces matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if I lived in my house 20 years or 20 days. Of course, if I lived it 20 days, I would hope I'm not trying to sell it. But it's not going to matter if I'm keeping that house.
Yeah.
It really makes no difference. The other part is, the last part that I kind of had to chuckle at was, she's talking in here about going out to get a loan for a home I'm going to live in, and yet using rental income as part of my income stream. I don't know if you've talked to mortgage folks recently. I mean, other than Kyle in here every once in a while. But if you've talked to mortgage folks at any time, probably really in the last 20 years, really especially since back in the 2007, 8, 9 fiasco that we had.
The post-Dodd-Frank era.
Yes. You actually have to have provable income,
yes.
Not I'm going to make income.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to say, hey, I'm going to rent this out for this much, that doesn't actually qualify as proof of income on things. So just a couple of small pieces there that she was, I don't know, shall we say 95% wrong about?
Yeah.
Is that a good number?
Probably a good 95.
All right. So, you know, then, and that's, again, folks, if you're up late at night or up early in the morning and you're just scrolling through some of these different things, because in my feed, believe it or not, Andrew, there's a lot of financial stuff that shows up in my feed.
I thought it would all just be baseball.
Well, that's the other half. It's about half baseball, half financial stuff. And sadly, I can't get away from the financial stuff. Even when I go and click that piece that says this ad doesn't apply to me, stop showing it. They stop showing that particular reel.
Yeah.
But then there are 12 more financial reels that show up for
me. It's like pulling weeds.
Yes, yes. Oh, and speaking of weeds, we'll actually have Ben Fisk on here in a few weeks and, you know, kind of talk a little bit about that lawnscape side of life. Because, you know, we got some rain this summer and my yard has kept me busy. So, anyway, total complete sidebar there. We've got the next clip here ready to go. And this one, I don't know, I might call it more fun than that first one.
Here's a secret of the wealthy. They don't pay their own bills. My car payments and first-class flights are paid for by my long-term rentals. My short-term rental properties pays for my house's mortgage and funds my family's vacations. Diversification is also key. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. My high-yield savings account and stock portfolio, they're set to cover my kids' college tuition. Treat each dollar as an employee tirelessly working to grow your financial future.
I see your face, Andrew.
Yeah. But we can at least say he got one thing right.
Yes.
Diversification and don't put all your eggs in one basket. But other than that, it kind of goes
A little off the rails on there. You know, there are certain things that your business can pay for. There are certain things that your business cannot pay for. And we could go 25 different routes through this. You know, your business cannot purchase something for your personal use because that is not a business expense. So there's a little government agency. I don't know if you've heard of them, Andrew, called the Internal Revenue Service.
Maybe once or twice.
And they like to check to make sure that you're paying all the taxes you need to be paying. And if you're deducting personal expenditures as business expenditures, there's probably a tax evasion issue we're coming up with here.
Yeah, I'm also a little caught off guard with how exactly do you treat every dollar like an employee? If that's the case, it feels like I've got a lot of people on PTO right now.
Well, I think perhaps, and I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, I think perhaps what he's looking at and talking about is that same sort of thing where Dave Ramsey talks about naming your dollars, right?
Okay.
Giving each dollar a name because it's going to do something specific. So if your dollar is your employee, you want to get it doing something specific, preferably working for you and growing more dollars, theoretically. But I think like a lot of us, if our dollars are our employees, there might be quite a few of them who are currently taking that paid time off.
Yeah, there. A little vacation, probably some quiet quitters in there too.
Yes. They're
just not doing as much as they used to.
Yes. Yes. And then we get to my favorite part. I use my business to pay for my vacations. Which, you know, it depends in here. And part of that is if it is a working vacation and you can demonstrate that you had to go to that particular location and during your time there, you spent more than half of the typical quote-unquote working day, so more than 4 hours in a day, doing actual work, that counts as a work trip.
But you can't say that you were having meetings in the line for Space Mountain for 4 hours and call that a corporate retreat or a business meeting.
Right. Just because, you know, I might go stand in line for a particular ball game and while I'm waiting to get in, hand my business card to people, that does not make that a work event. Even if I'm talking to the vendors about how much it's going to cost, you know, because my line of work deals with money, to buy that hot dog or that popcorn, that doesn't exactly qualify that as work. So some minor issues in there. The other piece in this, right, he talks about having his investment accounts and his high-yield savings account paying for college.
Isn't that just called saving?
I think so. I think so. And there are actually some very tax-efficient ways to do that.
It's a real hack right there.
Oh, that's an amazing hack. One of the tax-efficient ways is through this thing called a 529 plan.
Yeah.
Where if I just have a high-yield savings, I'm actually going to pay taxes on that growth, even if I'm using it for college. But in a 529, I'm not going to pay taxes on the growth if those dollars are used for college.
Okay.
So while, yes, those are, I guess we could call them technical tools that could be used. There are better tools in that toolbox. Mm-hmm. And by using those better tools, you're actually going to come out, believe it or not, better. Because that's what better tools actually do for you. They do the job better. I know that comes as a shock. Total shock.
I mean, you can mow the lawn with, you know, scissors. And you'll eventually get it done, or you could use a lawnmower. Get it done much more efficiently.
And even in that lawnmower side, you can use that old time reel mower, right? Where you literally are the engine. You're just pushing it, and it's, you know, the razor blades cutting. Or you can use that that nice zero turn 56-inch mower deck, and be a bit more efficient mm-hmm. that way.
Yeah.
So all kinds of different options out there as we're working through, taking a look at all of these different pieces. We've got that next clip up for you here, folks. And once again, there might, Andrew, be some stretching, shall we say, of reality here. A little warping of what is the real world, especially as it applies to us and our money. So here is that next clip, folks.
Listen to me. If you want to get rich with $1,000 and you're in your 20s or 30s, you can start in your 20s or 30s and get rich by doing this one thing. Buy a duplex or a quadruplex or a triplex. Live in one of the units, rent out the rest. The really cool thing is when you buy these, there's already going to be tenants in it because that's what a duplex or quadruplex or triplex is. It's an investment property. It's a rental property. So chances are they're always full. The deposits get transferred between the current owner to you. And then whenever the first tenant moves out, you move into that one. It only costs you $1,000 to buy a multifamily house through a USDA rural development loan. Why would you not do that? You got a 620 or higher credit score. You got 2 years on the job. Your debt to income ratios work out. I mean, if you make $35,000, you can buy a $100,000 home. If you make $70,000, you can buy a $200,000 home. And the cap in a lot of cities is like $107,000 worth of income. So if it's you and your spouse and y'all make less than $107,000, you got to be doing this.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Where do we start?
Well, I mean, again, at the very, very, 30,000-foot level. Yeah, investing in a duplex, triplex, quadruplex, and having, tenants help offset that overall cost, making some money, that's probably some sounded, that's, not exactly the worst idea.
Right.
But then
It's kind of the action he's got going on behind
it's
this.
It's the how that kind of gets a little bit in the way.
And yes, there are USDA programs. For those not familiar with that term, the USDA is the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And in order for a property to qualify as a USDA
rural
property,
development, especially.
Yes, rural development. It's got to be in the USDA eligible area. Now, how do you go find that? You can actually find that on the USDA website, and they've got an entire map of the U.S. on there. And you can type in your address and find out, does my address or does the address of the home I'm looking at qualify as a rural development area? But Andrew, I'm gonna tell you something here, and this may or may not come as a shock to you. I don't know entirely,
mm-hmm.
but Colorado Springs is not a rural development area. just throwing that out there.
Color me shocked.
Yes, yes. My other part on there, and he gave us some numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you go buy a quadruplex, going to cost you $1,000. I don't know where to buy a quad for $1,000. Even if it were in a rural area, you know, someplace, you know, Calhoun or Simla, or, you know, somewhere between here and Lyman, quite frankly, I don't know a lot of quadruplexes that are out there and available in a rural area that they're selling for $100,000, so you can take $1,000 and, hey, guess what? It's already rented out as well. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, based off of the sound of his voice, maybe somewhere in a state that has a panhandle, you know, probably out in, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, one of those real, real far out stretches.
Could be.
Maybe, but...
Maybe something in, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. There's not a lot in that rural development world in Tennessee anymore, quite frankly. No. So, you know, there's the whole big crazy set of circumstances in there, not the least of which, and he did hit this one correct, actually deals with income caps. If you make over a certain amount of money, you do not qualify for that USDA Rural Development Loan program. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you are trying to do this on a regular basis and trying to build your real estate side of your portfolio, if you've done this a couple of times, you probably no longer fit into that income bracket because they're not really high income brackets, especially compared to, you know, what folks are earning these days.
Yeah, it's definitely something where it's much better on paper and as he's explaining it in that quick little clip than if you actually get down and think about the, you know, actual details surrounding it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, folks, if you're out there and you're looking for that, you know, hey, I want to get into this real estate world, I'd like to, you know, sort of think about some of those different things to look at. You know, I'll buy that multifamily home, but in that process, I'm going to be one of the people living inside of that residence. Colorado's actually got a few laws that apply newly this year to folks who are in that multifamily world. One of them actually allows the locality, whether that is the state, the county, or some other low housing commission, to have the right of first refusal to purchase that multifamily property if it's a 5-unit or larger sort of property. So even in Colorado, even in rural Colorado, Andrew, if you've purchased something, you're looking to buy something that has 5, 6, 7, 8 units attached to it, you might have the successful bid and still not end up with the property.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, again, sounds great, sounds wonderful when we are kind of looking at and thinking about it from that, you know, 30,000 foot view, but it's the implementation of those plans that just don't exactly work out the right way.
Yeah, don't exactly pass muster.
Exactly. Well, folks, we are up against that first break in today's show. When we come back, we will continue, I guess you could say, kind of picking apart some of this financial advice that is freely given, but quite often worth the price we paid for it. So stick around. We will be right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that break right here on Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. Rick Stevens in studio with Not Aaron Rodgers, because he's in New York. This is Andrew Rodgers, who actually spells his last name correctly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wonder sometimes I get any emails or correspondences going on like that.
Ah, yes, yes. So true, so true. We are talking this week, folks, about some of that free advice that you get as you are, you know, scrolling through some of those social media feeds. You know, Andrew, I've got to tell you, sometimes the advice looks or sounds like it's coming from somebody who ought to know better.
Yeah.
Right? And they, you know, they may have some kind of a handle that kind of, you know, talks about them as a financial expert or real estate expert or a lending expert or a whatever. Did you know there's actually no qualification to actually throw the word expert after your name?
No.
Yes, yes, that is very true. Although you could actually put yourself in there as a radio expert. I think that would be good. I'd watch your reel.
Too bad I've been told by multiple family members, even though I've got a face for radio, so I might be sticking off the reels for now.
Well, I guess that'll be all right for this week. Maybe next week.
All right, we'll work on it.
Well, folks, we are coming up here on this next little clip. Once again, we're going to hear some stuff that's, you know, if you listened even last week, you're probably going to hear stuff that's a little repetitive here, because it seems, Andrew, that there are a lot of these folks that are kind of pitching the same concept, if you will, but in a little different light. It may not sound 100% the same, but I think there are certain themes that each of these quote-unquote influencers or experts have picked up on, not the least of which is we're going to try to get people to think they can make money really fast and a whole lot of it, and it's really going to take little to no effort. I think my favorite, because we heard it last time through, we're going to hear it a couple times through this week, the whole tax-free side of things. So there's a whole bunch of that tax-free business out there as well.
Who doesn't love saving money on taxes?
Well, of course. I mean, I've seen what Uncle Sam does with my money, so I'd kind of like to give him as little as possible.
Yeah.
But we oftentimes, when we're listening to these guys, they forget some very important pieces. Like, there's something beyond just an income tax that are associated here. But folks, give this next clip a little bit of a listen, and then we'll dive in just a little bit. So listen to this one.
All right, man, so check this out. Have you ever heard of the taxable brokerage account?
No, what's that?
So everyone's preaching 401ks, IRAs, and all these other types of retirement accounts, right?
Right.
But nobody's talking about a taxable brokerage account. So first, you can contribute as much as you want and take out your money whenever you need it without getting penalized if you're younger than 59. So secondly, you can still save on taxes. So if your investments lose value, you can use those losses to lower the amount of taxes you have to pay on any gains you make later. And third, when you finally decide to take out some profits from your investments, you can literally pay 0% in capital gains tax as long as you held it for longer than a year.
I wish I knew about that earlier.
Yeah, me too, dude. The more you know.
I've used that the more you know before, Andrew. I have used that the more you know more than once. But when I use that, I actually like to tell folks the entire story about things.
Well, what is the rest of the story there, Mr. Stevens?
Well, you know, he made some good points in there, right? That a lot of folks, when they are doing and dealing with financial advice, they oftentimes do leave out that taxable investment piece of advice. And if you've got a good financial advisor and a good good planner, they're going to talk about all three of those areas, right? So when I'm talking to the folks, I talk about the tax-deferred side, and those are the retirement plans that we're going to pay tax on the money when we bring it out. So that's your traditional IRA, your regular 401k or 403b or 457 or your TSP. So that's the tax deferred. We're going to pay taxes on that later. We're not getting taxed on those dollars today. They're actually a deduction to our income. Then you've got the Roth side, or what we oftentimes call the tax advantaged, because we're paying money on those dollars as if we earned them today. But when we take them out later, those dollars plus their growth are all tax-free if, and this is that retirement wrapper, if we wait to 59 and a half. And that's what he's talking about with that penalty, right? Mm-hmm. Your taxable investment account doesn't have a penalty associated with an age, because that age is always associated with retirement accounts. Your taxable account, your investment account, doesn't have that retirement wrapper, so there's no age restriction on there. And yes, he is correct. If you have an investment in that account and you lose money on that investment, you can actually do what's called a tax loss harvest. You can sell that, take that loss, use it on your taxes towards any of your income that year or towards gains. But there are limits as to how much you can use in any given year. One of those things we hear oftentimes about are all of these different corporations that aren't paying income tax. Well, that's because they actually have these massive losses that they show on their taxes that have to be carried forward year after year after year, because there are only so many that you can keep. So they're going to offset those gains. The part that he actually gets wrong, though, is he makes the comment that if you've held these assets for more than a year, your capital gains rate is zero.
I didn't realize that the law and the tax code had time limits and not money limits on those gains.
Exactly. So the actual time limit on there, because there is a time limit, sort of. The time limit determines whether it's a short-term or a long-term capital gain, and that time limit is 1 year plus 1 day.
Okay.
If you have held something 1 year and 1 day, it is now a long-term capital asset. Anything 1 year or less is a short-term capital asset. So if you buy something and say, you know, I'm going to make it easy, I'm going to use a calendar year here. Let's say beginning of January, you bought stock X, and by September, it was up 20% and you sold it in September. That 20% gain as a short-term capital gain counts as regular income, mm-hmm. and it's going to be taxed as regular income at your regular income tax rate. However, if you bought something in early January and you waited until the following February, so you've had this for 13 months and you got a 20% gain, you have now created a long-term capital gain on whatever that asset was, and as a result, you're going to pay the long-term capital gains rate. Now, that long-term rate is dependent upon your actual income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can go through and look up the actual numbers on all of these. But one of the things that I typically tell folks, because it's always adjusted year over year now for inflation, that sort of thing. But the ballpark numbers to understand are these: 40,000 and 400,000. Typically speaking, and again, it's not the exact number, but you can go find the exact number. For 2023, if you and your spouse make less than $40,000 combined, you have a 0% capital gains rate. If you and your spouse make $400,000 or more, you have a 20% capital gains rate. But most of the people, Andrew, most of the folks who are putting together these investment accounts, they're using that taxable stuff, they're paying their capital gains, fall into that middle category of basically 40 to 400.
A little bit of a window.
It's a window in there. And you're going to pay 15% okay. capital gains. So that's not a zero. It's not a 0%. It's a 15%. Which, you know, if I made $1,000 and I'm paying 15% on that, it's $150. But I'm still getting $850 out of it. And, you know, I get it. Uncle Sam's going to request that I pay into there. But it's simply not a 0% capital gains rate.
I wish I'd have known that earlier.
Yeah, man. I took out $5 million in capital gains, and now I got to pay a lot because I thought it was zero. Craziness.
The more you know.
And again, folks, you can go look at the 2023 tax rates. Go to the Google machine, throw in 2023 capital gains tax rates, and it's going to tell you for the tax rate if you're single, if you're ahead of the household, if it's married filing jointly, if it's married filing separately. It's going to give you the different basically windows onto all of those pieces, and you'll be able to see how does this apply to my particular situation. Talk to your tax pro on that as well. But I'm pretty sure that any tax pro I've ever talked to, Andrew, has never told me, oh, no, go ahead, sell that. Doesn't matter. You get zero capital gains.
Yeah.
There's some math behind that. And, well, just like last week, this guy's math doesn't quite math properly on there. We've got the next clip. Ready to go. Again, going to be some things I'm pretty sure that we've heard in a time or two in these other clips before, just sort of presented a little bit differently, maybe with a little bit more flair, a little bit more pizzazz in this. It's that whole speak with authority and they'll believe you, right?
Yeah.
Sort of a concept. So let's listen to this next quote-unquote authority, if you will.
Here's how we'll own this $800,000 triplex with none of our own money. So we bought the property with cash for $395,000 using a private money loan. So we're finishing up the renovation right now, and it looks like we're going to put about $120,000 into this property. Now that we put $120,000 into the renovation, houses in this area fixed up are selling for $800,000 plus. So we're going to rent the property out, and then the bank is going to come appraise the property. So hopefully they're going to appraise it for $800,000 and give us 75% of that value in the form of a loan. So the bank will give me a $600,000 loan, and that pays off my private money lender of $395,000 purchase, $120,000 of rehab, and interest for my holding costs. So I will have $0 invested into this property when it's all said and done. I will have a mortgage, but my rents will exceed the mortgage by over $1,000, which means I'll cash flow about $1,000 every single month. Doing deals just like this one has changed my entire life and allows me to live on my own terms.
Well, again, that's just like we talked about last time. That sounds a lot like you're mixing property investment with a good old-fashioned game of three-card Monty.
Yes.
Somehow that ace, that queen is going to pop up somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's one of those pieces. I always love this. I own this house, and I didn't spend any of my own money on it. How do you own something you didn't pay for?
Well, see, here's the thing. I took out a loan, and then I took out another loan to pay off the first loan. And yeah, I got a mortgage in my name, but don't look at that. I got tenants, and they're gonna cash flow it, hopefully.
You know, sometimes I don't even know where to start because just the whole thing is amazing, right? Here's the $800,000 property that I bought for $300,000, by the way. First, I want to know how he did that. Where are you going to find an $800,000 quadplex or triplex or whatever plex he was talking about there for only $300,000? That you didn't even use your own money for, by the way, because you know he talked on there about having the private loan, which basically means you went out, you found some guy named Guido who said, yeah, we'll give you that money at 600% interest, and you better pay it back in 2 weeks or we're breaking your legs.
Yeah, and then not to mention the fact that if he is making that improvement from 3 to 8, there's got to be some rehab, got to be some kind of fixing including there. And I don't think, as you mentioned, Guido and the Loan Shark Boys are going to help with that labor cost as well.
Exactly. So there's some stuff in here. And then we're going to go actually refinance it through a bank. Well, I'm not entirely sure what Guido was actually charging, but I can tell you if the bank is about to refi you, you're probably looking at 7% or more on any given basis.
Yeah.
The math that I did on that, if you have a $600,000 loan and you are borrowing at a 7, maybe even 7.5, I don't know. We're going to have a few days between when we record and the end of the week here when this plays. And quite frankly, rates are still continuing to do wild and crazy things headed northward. That's not a low-cost payment that you've got there. That's somewhere in that $5,000 to $6,000 range mm-hmm. per month. So that means if you've got that quadplex or triplex, you're probably, in order to make that $1,000 a month cash flow over the top as your profit here, if you're sending out $5,000 a month, you got to be bringing in six. That's $2,000 a month if we're talking there are three of these pieces that you're renting out, $1,500 a month if you've got four. They're either going to be really small for $1,500 a month in our local market, or quite frankly, even kind of small if it's $2,000 a month in our local market.
And not to mention the fact that even that, you know, $1,000 you're bringing in, if you are doing this and want to do property investment, because there is ways to do it, and there
right,
is
right.
responsible ways to take that on as, you know, a property owner and investor, but you need to have those reserves come in, because guess what?
Yeah.
When something breaks, it's going to be on you to take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's not a brand new property he's talking about, because he said he had to do $100,000 of updates and repairs, which means there are probably going to be more updates and repairs that you're going to need. Mm-hmm. The other part was, and I don't know if you caught this at the very end, he talked about that having that $1,000 a month cash flow helps him to enjoy that lifestyle that he has. Now, I don't know about you, but $1,000 a month isn't actually going to get me the lifestyle that I would like, because my lifestyle includes food, utilities, and putting fuel in my vehicle.
Yeah.
And if it were just me, living in this world and not my entire family with me, that's going to be close to $1,000 in a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of, shall we call it, quote unquote, lifestyle enjoyment coming out of that $1,000 of cash flow.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of those $1,000.
Yeah, you're going to have to be doing this to where it's your full-time job going between place to place in the city to have that lifestyle he's trying to make it out that he has.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and, you know, just kind of keeping that in mind, folks. These guys that are out there trying to push this sort of a concept onto you, they're trying to sell you on what every one of them says. If you want to hear more about this, click that follow button.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe, because guess what, guys? These guys are not getting paid because of their wonderful investment plans and concepts. They're getting paid by the number of viewers who watch the advertising on their channels. Well, folks, we've got one more. I think we've got time for one more today, but I think one more of these reels. We might get to two, but at least one here that, Andrew, I think this one, I don't know. Can I use the word special with the one we're about to hear?
Probably.
So here's that special clip we've got on this this next piece of beautiful, beautiful social media.
Let me show you how one parent is setting up their son for success. At 9 years old, this father's going to be putting away $500 per month, which is going to instantly give the child $700,000 in death benefits. Oh, and their living benefits too. If he gets any critical, chronic, or terminal illness, he can use all that while he's alive. He's going to be able to overfund his account up to $26,000 per year. By 20 years old, the child would have roughly $70,000 to pull from. By 30, he'd have close to $200,000 in his cash value. By 40 years old, he'd have over $400,000 in his cash value. And by 54 years old, he'd be a cash flow millionaire. Now, if he were to pass away at 54 years old, he would leave his family both $1 million in cash value and $1.7 million in death benefits. But it doesn't stop there. If he were to live to 85 years old, he would leave his family $6 million in cash value and $6.3 million in death benefits. This is what we call generational wealth.
I think that's what we call special. Because didn't we learn last week that there's a difference between savings accounts and life insurance policies, and they're designed to do two separate things by and large?
Oh, boy, did we ever. It's like this guy went to the do you remember Billy Mays?
Oh, yeah.
As a guy, when I was teaching my marketing classes, I loved to show the show Pitch Men, right, mm-hmm. which was about Billy Mays and Anthony Sullivan and how they do all of that direct advertising on TV, and they do that 30-minute pitch commercial. But my favorite was always Billy, because he would say, "But wait, there's more!" Oh, my goodness. This guy does the "but wait, there's more" so well. So well. And yes, Andrew, this is one of those very special sort of a things, right? Very special. Mm-hmm. So he's starting out with talking about that wealth hack to set your kid up for success. And he's going to insure a 9-year-old for $700,000 in death benefit. And he's only going to pay $500 a month to do that.
Yeah.
So anything that has a premium, and this is, folks, what they call whole life or cash value life insurance. The running joke I've got with folks is the reason they call it whole life insurance is because you're paying that premium your whole life. There's not a time when you stop paying that $500 a month premium ever.
Yeah.
It's there. So he pushes that. You can use the living benefit as a death benefit when you're alive if you've got a critical or a terminal illness. And then he starts talking about what you can borrow from that policy, right? At age 20, the child will have $70,000 to borrow or to pull from. And he's talking about the actual cash value of the policy. At 30, it's $191,000. At 40, it's $411,000. And by 54, it's $1.02 million that you could borrow from.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives the best part. If he passes at age 54, Andrew, do you know what the ballpark lifespan of the average American is these days?
Not 54.
No, it's in that 83-ish world, somewhere between the late 70s and early 80s. So we've got this crazy fictional piece. And he said he's got $1 million in cash value and $1.7 million in death benefits. In every policy I've ever looked at, that's not the way that math works.
Well, and even so, looking at the math, and you know, I had to pull out the calculator for it.
Yep.
But even so, even, you know, as they mentioned, that whole life, you're paying your whole life. Even to get to that 54, they've paid between dad and kid $275,000.
Right. $275,000 to get you $1 million.
Which really is getting you what? You know, $730,000?
Yeah. Really, it's little to no growth.
Yeah.
In those dollars over that time frame.
But then again, I guess they say you gotta spend money to make money sometimes.
Well, there's also a sort of to that. I don't think it's that kind of spend money to make money here that we want to look at. Because I want to look at something a little different here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So a couple of things with that whole life cash value policy. That agent or whomever is the agent assigned to that policy, depending on the company, they're actually getting paid somewhere between 8 and 18% of every new dollar you put in. Every dollar you put in, they're making somewhere between 8 and 18 cents every single time you put it in. So the agent's getting paid very well on a whole life policy. And yes, on that death, beneficiaries don't get cash value and death benefit.
Yeah.
They get death benefit plus any residual cash value that hasn't been borrowed against, already used. If you've taken some out and you had at one point $1 million and you borrowed $700,000 of it, well, now you only have $300,000 of cash value added to that death benefit. It doesn't double it. Yeah. It doesn't double it.
Or if you pull it all out and you pull out everything, then it's just that death benefit.
Exactly. And it's still that death benefit only if you're paying the premium. Because there are different kinds of these that if you don't have enough cash value in there, part of that cash value is actually paying a portion of your premium. You could actually cause that to collapse on itself, and now you've spent $200,000 over this many years and have nothing as a result. And you'd have been a lot better off if you'd have just had a term policy in that case, because you'd have probably spent a tenth of that through there.
Or better yet, set up a savings account for the kids. And to go back to the marketing and the infomercials, put money in, set it up on an auto pay, set it and forget it.
Yes.
And then let the kids get actual money they can use and not build them a house of cards.
Exactly. You know, there's actual numbers that I've put to this, mm-hmm. right? So let's say that, you're going to put $500 a month away for this 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And let's say you put it into something that just followed and did exactly what the S&P 500 does. So over that 10-year time span, it's averaging 11, 11.5%. Well, if you start at 9, mm-hmm. you put away $500 a month. By age 20, he was telling you could have $70,000 of cash value. But if you'd have just done that in a mutual fund, you'd have had $135,000 at age 20 instead of 70. By age 30, you've got $563,000 instead of 191. At age 40, you've got 1.9 million instead of 411,000. And at age 54, his age 54 number where he said you could have $1 million of cash value, $500 a month, age 9 to age 54, growing in just a regular old S&P 500 following type account, you've got $10.7 million. Now, I don't know about you, but where I come from, 10.7 is better than 1.02.
Yeah.
And even, right, we're talking capital gains previously. Even if you're paying the capital gains, you're going to take all $10 million of it at one point in time, and you've taken all of that out at once, and you've paid that 20% capital gain, you've still got $8.5 million after taxes. And here's that crazy thing. If that child passed away at 54 and leaves these things to, whether it's a spouse, whether it's kids, whether it's you and me, the new owner gets what we call a step up in basis, which means no capital gains for us.
So then you get that tax-free.
Yes. That's where tax-free can kick in.
Yeah.
But it's not tax-free for you, the guy putting the money away. It's tax-free for the one you're giving those things to. So, you know, it's so much fun. So much fun to listen to all of these different folks. Andrew, is there something in particular you think we can take away from what we've heard the last couple weeks?
Instagram is great for entertainment, for maybe keeping up with your favorite sports teams, kind of having that filtered view of reality, but not for making financial decisions.
Yeah, you know, I actually did see on one of the reels as I was scrolling through this morning, our coach up in Denver, mm-hmm. right, Mr. Sean Payton, Eastern Illinois University alumnus, I should add.
Yeah, the visor.
Yes, the visor, who had a wonderful statement, I guess maybe I can make to the media, that may or may not have been a dig at a former coach of those Broncos.
The you know, the driving storyline behind episode one of Hard Knocks a couple weeks ago?
Well, I was thinking about, you know, that comment about not letting my players hang out on the sideline, mm-hmm. out of their uniform, in the sunglasses, wearing a Gilligan hat.
Yeah.
That's good entertainment from that little clip side of life. But yeah, it's not exactly what we should probably look to for our financial health.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of videos lately, and I mean, you might be able to talk to your folks about this, that all of a sudden somebody gets 3 passes completed, negative 7 air yards, but somehow already getting fitted for a gold jacket. How does that math, as you would say?
So, in my world, the way that maths is that DJ Moore is going to be a pretty good wide receiver, and I'll take the fantasy football yards, but he actually threw the pass behind him.
Yeah.
Moore had to stop, turn around, and then make a few really good moves to pick up 62 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, hence the minus 7 air yards.
Yes.
But if you ask anyone, and especially if you head on Instagram, he's heading to the Hall. He's already getting fitted again.
Yes. Yes. Well, my favorite part of that is he is technically the odds-on favorite in Vegas to win the MVP this year. And as far as I can recall, the house never loses.
Yeah.
So they will gladly take Bears fans' money in Vegas.
Well, Rick, if anyone wants to get more information, get that real information outside of Instagram, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to do that, Andrew, is folks, you guys can give me a call at 719-500-8700. I think I'm option number 4 there on the phone tree. Send me that email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or just go to the website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click that contact tab. Say, hey, I heard this on KRDO. Would love to sit down and talk more. And we'll get folks called up and scheduled in for that. And as always, guys, it is a complimentary consultation. Doesn't cost you a thing to sit down, to talk about things, to learn whether or not it makes sense for us to work together. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got for this week on Money Matters. We will be back again next week, continuing to talk about your money, because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.